The Dan and Maz Show. My fellow Australians, it's time for the first meal of the day. And it's a day that starts with S, which means it must be time for your serving of weekend breakfast. So crank your volume up. Oh, to a respectable listening level. It is still quite early. It's time for Dan and Maz Weekend. Hooray!
Everything lights up. Makes you want to shout. Talk about happiness. That's what we're talking about.
Good morning, legends. Happy Sunday, everybody. We've got a fantastic show planned for you today as Dan removes the bucket that he had on his head just for some lols.
Why would you bring the bucket to people? I thought I'd put a bit of a bucket on my head. There was a bucket here in the studio. I thought I'd put it on my head, make Maz have a laugh, and then we just...
I want everyone to know the extent that you go to bring joy into this room every weekend.
Oh, he's a wacky guy, that Dan DeBoop. He's bloody got a bucket on his head at 7 a.m. on a Sunday. Oh, get out of town.
Bucket head.
Oh, we got the village idiot over here. Oh, nah, it's a good show. It's going to be exciting.
On the show today, a chat with Neil Whittaker. You'd know him as, I'd say he's the style guru on the block.
He goes around with Shayna Blaze and assesses how good the Renos are.
Sure does. He actually told me how the block has kind of ruined his life a little bit, his social life at least.
Oh, yeah.
We'll get to that chat a bit later on in the show. And Dan, you've got a bit of a crush on a dude.
Yeah, two actually, Maz.
Two crushes on one dude?
No. Two crushes? No, one crush each on each dude.
So two dudes, two crushes,
and I have
one
Dan. I have for a while actually, Maz, and you know, I'm comfortable with that feeling, you know. I'm comfortable to admit that feeling, but I realized this week, because they've been in the news a lot, I saw these two men on the TV and I went, oh my God, they are probably, I reckon, the two hottest men in the world. In
You're
my
really
opinion.
Embracing
yeah.
That part of your life.
What part of my life?
Well, the man crushing part.
Love is a spectrum, Maria. Love is a spectrum.
We'll get to that a bit later. Up next on the show, we will open up the Encyclopedia of Awesome. As we always do, it lives online at danandmaz.com, and we'll get to it next.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
Let's open up that Encyclopedia of Awesome.
For centuries, people have gathered to argue over the most important topics. What is the best breakfast cereal? What's the best word beginning with T? We're going to solve them one at a time and stick them in the Encyclopedia of Awesome. And today's question is...
What is the best baked good?
Serious segment, the Encyclopedia of Awesome. As you said just before the mashup, Mazzy, it does live on our website, danandmaz.com. You can see everything. We put a topic up, and you guys on Twitter, on Facebook, and on 131060, you say what the best of it is, and we lock it in forever. And you can scroll through them all on our website. The best celebrity couple, that was Beyonce and Jay-Z.
Locked in.
That's it. Best child star, Macaulay Culkin. Best liquid was coffee.
I was about to say, we do cover a range of topics, not just celebrities.
No, because often they come down to foods, and today is a foodie one.
Best baked good, 131060, tweet us, we're at Dan and Maz. Dan, do you have a suggestion for the best baked good?
Well, I actually used to work in the baking industry, Maz. When I was 14 years old, I worked at a patisserie called Jean-Claude Patisserie, because I'm French.
I think a lot of people get baked in their teen years. That's a whole different matter.
Yeah, no, that wasn't for me, Maz. I was a straight A student, straighten up, fly right. And I worked in a patisserie for a few months until the place got burgled and I was too scared to go back there again.
Didn't you get locked in a freezer?
By some criminals, yes, by some vagabonds.
They went to rob the patisserie and they just locked you in the freezer. And then didn't you have to let yourself out when they'd finished?
Scoundrels, some rapscallions, some ne'er-do-wells. How often did they do well? Nair. They ne'er did well, these vagabonds. They did, and but I got to know many of the pastry items, and I'd say my favourite baked good is called a palmier.
What is that?
It's a sort of
obviously
hard,
French,
crispy pastry, heart-shaped. It's covered in sugar. It's an absolute joy, and you can get
Sounds
them
amazing.
As big as a small child sometimes. Yeah. Maz, what's your favourite?
Bakewell tart. Do you know what a Bakewell tart is?
Oh, I reckon I'm bloody looking at one right now.
It's like a little... It's like a cupcake size treat.
I hate cupcakes.
It's not a cupcake.
If someone rings up with cupcakes,
they're going to crack it at them. I'm trying to give you a visual. It's the size of a flipping cupcake. Probably half as high though, but same diameter. And it's got that white icing and then it'll have like a red blob in the middle of it. And
sounds
it's that
awful.
Hard pastry. Bakewell tart.
We did not sell that at Jean-Claude's Patisserie.
It would be, I think it's a very English type treat.
We've put
I remember
a couple
them
of,
from oh, England.
Yeah, all right. We put a couple of sweeties out, but you can also do a savoury. 13 10 60. What is the best baked good?
Give us a call or tweet us. We're at Dan and Maz. We'll lock it away into the Encyclopedia of Awesome.
This is the Dan and Maz Show.
Let's lock something into the Encyclopedia of Awesome.
For centuries, people have gathered to argue over the most important topics. What is the best breakfast cereal? What's the best word beginning with T? We're going to solve them one at a time and stick them in the Encyclopedia of Awesome. And today's question is...
What is the best baked good?
Ooh, imagine you're opening up the door on a patisserie oven and you're sliding out a tray. What do you wish is sitting on that tray, steaming away, crispy on the outside.
Yum, yum.
Fluffy on the inside. It's a baked good, 13, 10, 60, and we'll lock it in forever based on your votes into our Encyclopedia of Awesome.
Let's chat to Jane on 13, 10, 60. Good morning.
Hi, guys.
Whoa, it's Jane.
Best baked good is the cronut.
Oh, the cronut. It's like a croissant. It's sex with a donut.
It's exactly what it is.
Delicious transatlantic partnership. It's got the softness of a croissant, but the crispy, sugary outside of a deep-fried donut. Oh, Jane, are you going to get one for brekkie this morning?
Oh, yes. I want to eat like 7.
Oh, Jane. Oh, naughty.
Wow.
Naughty Jane. Jeez. Nothing plain about our Jane. Jane's insane.
Thank you, Jane. Let's head to Rachel. Hello.
Yeah, all right. I had more cronut facts if you want.
Well, let's just get all the all the suggestions.
Dominique
first.
Ansel in New York invented the cronut, the first cronut. There were lines down the road at his Soho bake shop.
Anyway. You say that now, but when we did a quiz with you versus George Columbaris, and that was one of the questions, you actually flaked on that. Oh, no pun intended.
First of all, great pun.
Thank you.
Second of all, that's why I know, because sometimes you have to fail to learn.
There you go. Sometimes. Hey, Rachel.
It's called our career.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Rachel.
Hey, what is the best baked good in your opinion?
Well, look, I've never had a cronut, but I don't think anything beats a good family recipe. So my mum's chocolate chip cookies, she's got a secret little tip, she adds a tiny bit of coffee. You can't beat them. They
coffee.
Are the best.
Oh, I've never heard of that before.
A little bit of cafe.
So do you mean like a bit of Nescafe, like instant coffee into that mix?
Yeah, just a tiny little bit of instant coffee and it's
just lacing
them, Yep, get
lacing the,
day. The
cookies with caffeine.
That'd get the kids pinging off the walls, wouldn't it?
Yep.
Wow.
For us.
Right.
Imagine that's for play lunch.
Sorry. Mum's caffeine-laced cookies.
Yeah. Mum's special spiked cookies.
Annabelle.
I've had a couple of cookies this morning, you know what I mean?
Annabelle.
Yes, hello.
Hey, babe. What's the best baked good?
Oh, definitely a brownie. Gotta love that chocolatey goodness.
I love chocolatey goodness, Annabelle, but there is a slight concern with brownies in that sometimes they contain nuts, and I care not for nuts.
You care not for nuts, but what about the crunchiness?
No.
No, he's not a fan.
No. No. But would you like them with some sort of nut mixed in or just a sort of a pure brownie?
What if it was a nut-free brownie?
Yeah.
You're okay with that?
Yeah, nut-free I could do. Yeah. As long as there's like, you know, maybe a piece of chocolate in there or something.
White chocolate chunks.
That's a good one. Annabelle, is your nomination for nutty brownie or nut-free brownie? Which one?
Look, I'm okay with nut brownie.
Nut brownie. Well, I'm not on board. But your vote still counts for nut brownie.
Hey, no one suggested anything savoury. Everyone's just done sweet treats.
That's interesting, isn't it? No one's... Well, I mean, to be honest, it was only a couple of weeks ago, Maz, when we did What's the Best Pie Filling. Maybe our audience is a bit savoury pastried out.
Maybe. Well, the old Yorkshire pud. I'd like to put a nomination in for the Yorkshire pud.
Bloody cheesy might scroll. Why the hell not? Look, we got Casey in the phone room. Casey!
Good morning, guys.
Hey, babe.
Okay, guys.
First of all, Casey, can I say there's a fantastic winter beanie you're wearing on your head. For people who can't actually see Casey, aka all of you.
She's everyone.
She's got a beanie on and has two pom-poms, one on either side of her cranium, not unlike a sort of teddy bear.
That is exactly what I'm going for. Yep. So thank you, Daniel.
You're welcome, Cassandra.
Thank you very much.
So, Casey.
Yes.
Have you got, before we get to the winner, because you've been totalling up the votes, have you got an honourable mention you'd like to shine the spotlight on for a second?
I sure do. We've got the original, emphasis on the original, barbecue shape, which, as you guys know, baked, not fried.
Baked, not fried.
It is baked, not fried. That's a good baked.
That's
good.
That's a great honourable mention.
Oh, excellent work.
But our winner this morning, guys, is the scone.
The scone! Where did the scone come from?
It's
very
scone.
Versatile.
Yeah, it really hate scones. Is. I think they're disgusting. Like, it's damper. Oh, gross. But anyway, got to stick it in. Stick it in!
And so the final decision was made and entered into the Encyclopedia of Awesome. From this day forward, let it be known that...
Scone!
...is the best...
Baked good...
What on team?
Dan and Maz Weekends!
Australia. Oh, no. It is time for the best segment in radio.
Is it though?
They were the kings of the earth for millions of years. They were the mightiest animals ever to exist. They are all extinct, but their news is still relevant.
Baffles me that dinosaurs can be topical in the news because they've been dead for millions of years.
Feel free to tweet us at Dan and Maz with your support for dinosaur news. It is one of the most important segments we do on the show.
All right, what has one of the big stinky animals done this time?
Oh, well, who knows if they stunk or not, Maz, because
probably.
They've been extinct for so long, but we can discover things about them by probing them and studying. I was on a date the other night, and the woman I was on a date with said to me, Maz, that she didn't like dinosaurs, and I almost packed up and left.
No second date for her. How did that even come up, though? I mean, really?
Hi, my name's Dan. Do you like dinosaurs?
He's on a profile.
Yeah.
Do not like dinosaurs.
I wouldn't swipe for that. Okay, so this is a story about a dinosaur that has recently, this week in fact... caught an aeroplane. Boom.
Can I guess what really happened?
Imagine that. Imagine getting on your aeroplane and sitting down. You're next to a bloody T-Rex. Oh, good day. Hello.
But the T-Rex wouldn't fit on the plane, first of all.
Vegetarian meal.
First class.
Vegetarian meal for you, T-Rex? No, no, I am not a herbivore. It flew from Chicago O'Hare Airport.
Is it just the bones?
It flew from Chicago O'Hare Airport to Schiphol Airport in Amsterdam on KLM to be displayed in South Holland. Trix, a 66-million-year-old female fossil from Montana.
There you go. So it is just, so they packed up the bones into a couple of suitcases, chucked them in the overhead compartments, I assume. Carry on only.
Well, no, to be honest, Maz, this is an exceptional skeleton. It is one of the top three T-Rex skeletons in the world.
How do they transport that? I mean, really, though, like what's going on there?
Probably, you know, those little packing peanuts, those little bubbles.
What about, oh, I was going to say bubble wrap.
Yeah. Oh, no, they probably
wrap the bones.
They probably like laser cut some foam so all the bits just slot in perfectly and put it into road cases. But
like an LCD TV.
The fun part about this one, Maz, and it's quite cute, okay, to celebrate Trix flying from Chicago to Amsterdam, they made a passport. For
oh,
the
cute.
Dinosaur. So it's got like Trix's face, like rah, like that, right? And it says like surname, Tyrannosaurus Rex. Name, Trix. Birth date, 66,398,000 years ago. And then it has a signature, which is just two claw marks, like with the T-Rex's tiny little hand.
That is very clever.
And they had a big farewell ceremony at the airport. It's very exciting.
So they just schlepped it from one museum to the next.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it probably was stuck in some crates.
Is it one of those ones that's like hanging from the ceiling? You know those ones? They hang them from the ceiling?
Sure, why not?
Okay, cool.
I don't know how it's going to be in situ, but yeah, I imagine.
Well, you would know that.
I imagine they'll display the whole thing.
As a journalist in a news segment, Dan, you should actually have the finer details.
Well, the other thing is, Maz, is it all happened on Tuesday, but I don't know for sure if the delivery was a success or not because all the articles are in Dutch. I don't know whether it actually made it or not, but I reckon it has.
I reckon it has too. I've got a good feeling about tricks.
There you go. Dinosaur news. If you need to know what's breaking in the world of paleontology and dinosaurs, Dan and Maz is where you listen. Dinosaur news as it happens.
This is the Dan and Maz Show.
I've got to talk about this guy. He's a DJ, actually, and he wasn't working in Ibiza. He was over there just partying just for a couple of days. So, well, you know, a bit of time off.
Probably would have called it professional research if he's a DJ.
Oh, yeah, actually, you could write that off on tax.
You absolutely could.
What he cannot write off on tax is the £30,000 bus that he accidentally bought on eBay whilst partying.
When you say £30,000, you mean as in weight, or that's how much it cost in terms of British pounds sterling?
That is how many pounds sterling the bus that he bought on eBay cost. Now,
it's got to be close to 60 grand.
He doesn't actually know exactly how this happens. So his Facebook post was basically like, bought a 30,000 bus, WTF. Like, he woke up in the morning after a night out in Ibiza and was like, okay, I bought a bus on eBay. How did I do it? Now, apparently the backstory is, before he left home, his dad was looking on his phone for buses. Oh. For whatever reason, we don't know. Like,
dad's
I don't
a bus
know
enthusiast.
If his dad wants to buy a bus or if he just likes browsing for buses online, I'm not quite sure. So after a night of probably pounding the dance floor, old mate's pocket bought a bus
that's
on eBay.
So good.
That's the conclusion that he's come to. He has sent an email to eBay saying that it was an accident just to see if he can, I don't know, get his money back and not get a coach delivered to his house.
It's like the famous song, I bought a bus in Ibiza. You'd hope it was one of those ones like you get a good bus for that amount of money, like a double decker or one with like the accordion in the middle.
Yeah.
You know the ones with the accordion in the middle?
The bendy bus.
Yeah.
I thought you meant it came like with an accordion player who just sat in the middle seat and serenaded people.
Yes, that's Carlos. Yeah.
What we want to do on 131060 is talk to people who have done as this gentleman has and purchased under the influence. It's PUI on the Dan and Maz Show.
Yeah. Now, we don't condone excessive consumption of influential materials. You know, if you drink a lot, That's not a great thing, and you might wake up with an expense on your card or on your PayPal or whatever, and you'll go, how the hell did that ever happen? And so these are cautionary tales, Maz. Even if when you say them, we laugh and we clap and we say, that's amazing, what we're actually saying is, tusk, tusk, you should not have done that. Cool, disclaimer out of the way. So I'll give you an example, but 131060, if you bought something when you're a little bit squiffy, a little bit under the influence. For example, my friend, he was a lawyer. He used to, on Friday night drinks, they'd sort of, you know, they'd hang out at the firm and have their Friday night drinks and be like, oh, you know, we really sued some people this week, didn't we? Oh, well done. I don't know. I went to law school, but I was never a lawyer. I don't know how it all works. What they would do is after, this is what legal life is like, they would be like, let's let our hair out and just go nuts and paint the town red. So they'd all walk from the law firm across to David Jones and
what?
They'd all like be a bit like, you know, a bit loose because of the juice, and they'd all buy a business suit each.
Oh, really?
When they were under the influence of alcohol.
That's hilarious. Just for no other reason than they can, because DJs is across the road.
Yeah, because the firm was in the city.
I get it.
Now, can you imagine what it'd be like if you worked at David Jones and it'd get to like 7 p.m. on a Friday and you go, oh no.
I know, you'd roster yourself off, wouldn't you?
Here come
you go,
the
lawyers. I don't want to do the Friday night shift because those idiots are going to come in and all try on suits.
Oh, hey mate, you got some cufflinks for this bad boy? Oh yeah, well, can I get a tie to go with this one? Oh, going to law school, I know what these people are like. Oh!
Okay, 131060, have you done a PUI? It's a purchase under the influence. We don't condone the behaviour, but we'd love to hear your hilarious stories and we'll get your calls next.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
131060 is our number. We're after your calls. If you've made a PUI, it's a purchase under The Influence.
It's inspired by a DJ that you read about, Maz, went to Ibiza. Yeah.
DJ Dave Little is his name.
Is he one of the Potbellies?
No. I know which Potbelly you're talking about. I don't know his last name. Yeah, I think his name's Dave Goods.
Yeah. Yeah. I was close, though.
Well, sure.
Dave,
he's
like
a DJ.
The most common name in the world. Yeah. could have gone with David Guetta. Yeah.
DJ Dave Little was over just partying for a few days in Ibiza. He didn't have a gig booked. He was just over there to have a good time. Woke up one morning after being at one of the super clubs and realized that he had purchased a bus on eBay. It cost him £30,000. He believes that his dad a few days before had been looking at buses online for some reason that we don't know. And I think his pocket purchased on eBay the bus. He's emailed eBay to say, I don't need a bus. Can I have my money back? But he's still waiting to hear from them.
It could be a cover story. Maybe he was out one night trying to impress a girl and she's like, bet you wouldn't buy a bus. And he's like, watch me, babe.
Yeah, I would.
Watch me buy this bus. Or like, yeah, I just got to buy another tour bus because I'm going on another tour. Yeah, no big deal.
Actually, that is true. It's something that a DJ with enough money would probably need.
Yeah, David Guetta's got like seven buses. David Guetta has like a whole fleet of buses.
Is that true or are you just saying that? You don't
actually
know that.
It's 100% true.
No, it's not. Look at that face.
Calvin Harris has 25. Most of them double decker.
Yep. That's a load of BS.
Tiesto, only one. Only needs one. But he also has an army tank. This has been DJ Vehicles. All right. 131060. What have you bought after a few too many drinks, purchasing under the influence? Hannah.
Hi.
Hey, Hannah.
Hello.
Okay, well, mine isn't as tangible as a bus.
That's okay.
What abstract item did you buy? I bought a sense of goodwill.
I was at a festival and I, under the influence, bought a spray tattoo of the Sydney Opera House on my forehead.
What?
What's a spray tattoo?
You know those spray tattoo booths they have? Oh, and it's not permanent.
It's like a temporary tattoo.
It's like a temporary one, but instead of a stick-on, they spray it, and it's supposed to last up to 1 week if you don't wash it.
It's like they airbrush it onto your skin.
Okay. And
it's like a bit more permanent than I would have liked.
On your forehead.
Yeah.
Of what? The Sydney Opera House.
The Sydney Opera House.
Is this like,
patriotic.
Yeah, you're just a real fan of the architecture of John Utzon? Or like, what made you get this? Or you don't remember?
Feeling really patriotic. I must have been really in the moment at this festival.
What festival was it?
It was Group the Moo. Like, it wasn't even that intense. I don't know why.
Yeah, that is a pretty relaxed festival.
Didn't even regret it.
Okay, and how long did it stick around on your noggin for?
I mean, I had a good exfoliate the next day, but there were remnants of it for a few days.
That's great.
A couple of the iconic sales still remained the day two of the festival.
Did you wear a bandana for the following week or a headband, a headscarf or something?
No, I didn't have any of those on tap, but...
they probably had a tent that sold them at Groove in the Moo, to be honest.
Yeah.
Right next to the spray tat.
Yeah, exactly.
You will regret this tomorrow. Buy a headscarf next
just
door.
Skivvies and other thermals to cover gloves.
Hannah, thanks for your call, babe. Let's get to Sam. Good morning.
Hi.
Hey,
purchasing
Sam.
Under the influence.
So I ended up buying a wedding dress online.
Were you engaged to be wed?
No, I wasn't. My friends who are all married and engaged, I actually felt pretty left out and got drunk, as you do, went home and bought a wedding dress online. And it's still hanging in my closet.
Oh. Does it fit?
Not really. I didn't really think about those things. I just thought, I'm going to buy one and hopefully it will get me one step closer. But
this is like vision boarding on steroids. Like, I've heard of manifesting stuff, but this is like really taking it to the next level.
I know.
Sam, how many people have you told about this dress in your cupboard?
Oh, not many. You guys are probably the first.
Yeah. And Australia.
Sam, I've got to ask, a lot of women do spend a significant amount of money on a wedding dress for that special day. Give me a ballpark on how much you spent on it.
Well, this is pretty cheap compared to what some people would spend, but I spent about $2,500.
What? Oh, man, no wonder you haven't gotten rid of it. I thought you were going to say $200 and I was going to go, oh, my God.
I went all out.
And a half grand on a dress that you don't have an occasion to wear to.
I don't even have a partner. So
oh, mate,
bad.
I'm tempted
to
just...
Can you resell it?
I was going to just marry you just now just to give you an excuse. Like,
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay, no, so you've just terrified
me.
I'm starting to realise why.
You're so ready.
Yeah. All I need is a man.
Yeah, all right. Far out, mate. Oh, couldn't you have returned it?
That is a fantastic story.
Mate, it's still sitting there in the cupboard, just a grim reminder that not only are you desperately single, but you're also probably drinking too much as well. Oh.
You're waking up with Dan and Maz Weekends.
Everything lights up, makes you want to shout. Talk about happiness, that's what we're talking about.
Good morning, legends. Dan and Maz Weekends with you for another hour. Joining us on the show will be Neil Whittaker this hour. You'd know him probably from The Block, I'd say, unless you subscribe to Vogue Living, the magazine.
That's the one, Vogue Living. The other one is... what's the other one that Shayna Blaze does? Ah, they all have side businesses.
Oh, they all have their own projects and bits and pieces. But Neil Whittaker has an interesting connection to Absolutely Fabulous, the TV show / just been made into a movie, finally, after all these years. Thank God they did that.
Yep. Speaking of Absolutely Fabulous, Maz, if you've ever wondered... wonder what if Dan was into men, what his taste in men would be like.
Do you know what, Dan?
Yeah.
I've never asked myself that question.
Yeah, well, I realised I know the answer.
I feel like you've asked yourself this question.
No, I didn't even ask the question. The answer just happened to me this week. I was watching like Sunrise, and I just see boof, I see this video, and I went, oh my God, I know what kind of men I'm into. It's not Koshy, it's not Cash Cow. Yeah, it was a real shock. Yeah.
So up next on the show, we're going to find out what men Dan's into.
Well, if I were into men, this would be it.
Well, it'd be good just to, I guess, clarify things.
It's nice to know things about yourself, isn't it?
Yeah.
All right,
the name of sharing is caring.
No, okay. And then Australia can join in too.
Okay, great.
This is the Dan and Maz Show.
Okay, this next segment, there's only a certain sort of group of the community that can call up, and it's not because we're misogynist or homophobic, quite the opposite, but I only want straight men to call up in the next segment, okay? And it's sort of like an opinion poll or a survey, and I reckon if you are someone who's interested in the male sex... you'll find this a real eye-opener. So if you are a gay man or a straight woman, you'll be like, oh.
So this is straight guys only,
yeah.
13, 10, 60. We're taking a poll of
and
sorts.
Here's what I want to know, right? No, let's not get smutty here, Maz. It's a science experiment.
You just said we're taking a poll.
Yep. And then you did a giggle. Snide remark off microphone. Come on.
You said we'll get a poll on the show.
Now, here we go. Straight guys, what do you reckon is a really hot man? Now, see, already we're going down a rabbit hole here. Come on.
So you're asking straight guys to call up on 13 10 60 and explain their type. If they were hypothetically into dudes, who is your ideal dude? What's a hot dude to you?
Or not even, Maz. Like, for example, I don't want to have sex with a sandwich, but I could describe to you my ideal sandwich. You know what I mean? I don't want to have sex with the Mona Lisa, but I know it's a great work of art, you know?
When you're talking about having sex with the sandwich, did you mean that you wanted to be in a sandwich with someone?
No, I did. I was talking about a food stuff. For God's sake, Maz.
Music.
Maz, I don't want you to scare off straighties. I don't want you to scare off the straighties now.
That'll be a first.
Yeah. I wish I could learn how. anyway. If I had to say, and I realised this week, a video came up on my Facebook feed from Sunrise and it had two men in it. And I was like, those two men...
They're
my ideal men.
And you've got a bit of a man crush on both of them,
you've said. And I've met them both. And they both star in the Thor franchise. And they are Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston. Oh. If I were to say what the definition of a good-looking man is, I would say either of them. And I'll tell you what, they've been living it up in Brisbane this week and they've been getting up to all sorts of hijinks.
They spent 2 hours at Lady Cilento Hospital visiting more than 80 children and their families. They spent time with them, took plenty of selfies and even made a guest appearance on the Juiced TV channel. And the kids were absolutely rapt.
Yeah, kids' hospitals, they've been going, wow. They've been handing out pizzas, they've been waving to crowds, they've been having a great time. And I've interviewed Chris Hemsworth and he gave me a hug at the end of the interview.
I feel like when you explain that story to people,
yeah.
The way you say it, it didn't quite unfold that way. You begged him for a hug.
Asked.
It's not like at the...
Let's compromise on ask.
You had to ask a few more times than once.
Oh, get out of it. He was so up for it.
So, yeah, he did hug you at the end of the interview.
And I've also had an interview with Loki himself.
Did you enjoy the hug?
It was an amazing hug. It was like two big trees wrapping themselves around you. It was I felt so safe.
Did you have
a big smile and go, that was a great hug, mate?
No.
Tap him on the back just to go like, tap, 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 as in like, don't worry, mate, nothing weird going on. Tap on the back as the universal straight man symbol for just a bro hug.
What about just a bit like below?
No, of course not. And Tom Hiddleston, bloody hell, when I met him, I walked out of that interview and I was like, oh my God, I want to be best mates with this dude. He's so charismatic.
Do you want people to call up? So just physically, like who they think is a hot dude physically if you're a straight guy.
That's what I'm after. 13, 10, 60, right? Be brave enough to admit it. Straight dudes, just say. And because, you know, women and gay guys listening might be like, oh God, I can't believe they think that's what's hot. Or you might be like, this guy knows what's what.
It's an interesting experiment, that's for sure. So if you're a straight dude, give us a call on 13 10 60. Tell us who is a hot dude.
And Maz won't make fun of you because she's got it all out of her system now.
Yep.
Yeah.
Totally.
No, don't scare him off.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
We're after straight guys on 13 10 60. Straight dudes only for this segment,
yeah,
please.
Yeah, but can we get rid of the music? Because I don't want to get a sexual tone. This is a scientific segment. What we're doing is we're finding out what, like, famous men do straight dudes reckon are hot dudes. Right.
And this is because you've had the revelation this week that you've got a bit of a man crush on Chris Hemsworth and Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
You think they're both really hot guys. If you were to become a gay man, which you are not, you are a straight man, definitely heterosexual, definitely into chicks. But if you were to become a gay man, they are the two boys that you'll be into, so to speak.
The way I like to express it, Maz, if like Barack Obama came down and said, Dan, you're in charge of making a list of the hottest guys in the world, go. I'd be like, really? Me? You think I'm the expert? He's like, you're the guy for the job. I go, all right, well.
Why is Barack Obama giving you that job?
Because he's the most powerful man in the world. And can I say, a bit of a spunk. He's up there.
Okay.
But like, for example, someone might call up Maz and say, I reckon this guy's hot. And you'd be like, no one thinks he's hot. You're wrong. Right?
Okay,
so let's find out.
Let's get to some calls. 13, 10, 60.
My two are Tom Hiddleston and Chris Hemsworth. And it's probably because both of them are superheroes and I'm a massive nerd. Probably.
And they're both hot guys.
Good. Thank you. Thank you for saying I have good taste in men. Yeah.
Yeah. And they're kind of, I mean, when you think about it, they're like, you would be the opposites attract of that relationship because they're quite buff and fit and stuff.
All right, we got Sam on 13, 10,
hey,
60.
Sam.
Hi.
You're a straight dude?
I'm very.
Okay.
Very straight, yes. But I'm about to talk about men, but I must stress I'm very straight.
As a straight bloke, who is a hot dude in your opinion?
Bearded Hugh Jackman. Not cliche.
Ooh, bearded Hugh Jackman.
Yeah, nice and rugged, Wolverine, made me interested in X-Men, have to have a beard.
And great personality too. Hey, Sam.
Now, does this have anything to do with the character that he's playing in Wolverine?
I'm kind of like Dan. Yeah. I'm a nerd as well, so I think there's that nerd camaraderie. But Wolverine, X-Men, Hugh Jackman, any form, I like it.
Yeah, all
so
right.
So your ultimate dude really is a superhero. Like, not a human.
With a beard and a cool leather jacket. Yeah, okay. and a mysterious past.
Good to know. Thank you, Sam. We've got Matt on 13 10 60. Hello.
What up, Dan and Maz? How you going?
Yeah, good, Matt. Now, you're a straight man, but who do you reckon is the hottest guy in the world?
Look, I reckon at the moment it's got to be Calvin Harris, don't you?
Answer. Dan reckons it's Chris Hemsworth or Tom Hiddleston.
Nah,
I disagree. Nah. You disagree? Okay.
Oh, providing what his own sound effects. Jeez.
Matt, may I ask what in particular floats your boat about Calvin Harris?
I think I have a lot of respect for the guy, you know. Back in the day, he was this scrawny little thing, and now he's just beefed himself right up. Like,
he really has done a body transformation, hasn't he? He's been using that bikini body guide like nobody's business.
Exactly right. So huge respect.
I got to say, I've interviewed him and I didn't find his personality was that ebullient. I thought he was a bit low-key, a bit introverted. So maybe it's
he was
not really
just a bit tired.
Personality is important for me, you know.
Maybe he was tired.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt. David, hello.
Hello.
Hey, David. You're a straight guy, but what do you reckon is a hot dude?
Jason Statham is my man crush by far.
Jason Statham. He's the guy who's in all those heist movies, isn't he?
Yeah. Transporter. Italian
is that the
job guy?
He's got that sexy
British accent.
Lock, Stock and Two Smoking Barrels, I think. Or
he's
Snatch
in a lot
whatever.
Of heist movies, right?
Hey, David, I just think he's a bit of a meathead, you know?
Oh, no way. Well, he's done well because he's going to get married to the supermodel, so
yeah,
he's not
true.
Too much of a meathead.
Oh, they all marry supermodels.
Yeah. Oh, the impossible dream. Hey, David.
Yeah,
not a supermodel, Jason Statham.
I'm trying to ascertain like what the common denominators are here. So Jason Statham... personally, do not find attractive at all.
Interesting.
Is it his accent? I don't feel like he's particularly buff.
It's just a combination
he's got a
of
rough
everything.
Head, to be honest. Like, he really does.
But ruggedness is attractive.
Was he in Fight Club? From the look of his face, he was.
No, he absolutely wasn't. Oh. Nice.
Would have been a 10 times better movie if he was, though.
Oh, you really are a fan.
He is. Okay, oh, no, David, thanks for your call.
So
interesting,
Maz. Accent thing.
Yeah, have you
action
noticed?
Hero.
No Americans
superhero.
So far.
Superhero action hero.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because your two are Aussie and British.
Yeah, we have all Aussie and British.
Interesting.
But, I mean, yeah, all right.
Let's talk to Ben. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good, Ben.
This is one of my favourite segments we've ever done on the show, to be honest.
Yeah. Well... Yeah.
I'm finding this very interesting.
Well, let's see if you like my one.
Okay.
I have a massive man crush on Jeff Probst.
Oh,
you know who that is?
The guy from Survivor.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. Yep. Can't,
oh,
can't
he's annoying.
Get out. Nah.
Ben, imagine trying to have a conversation with that guy. He's so high energy.
No, what are you talking? No, he's not. He's like a counsellor. He's like your best friend. He's all these things rolled into one.
Then you're obviously very sensitive.
Yeah.
He's a good-looking dude as well.
So. So if you had to say who's the hottest dude in the world, you would say Jeff Probst from Survivor.
I think it's just the whole package, Dan. I don't think it's just about the hotness. I think it's just, you know.
That's
just
true.
Ben, you're obviously into older men.
He's no Harry Styles.
Daddy issues much?
Oh
no.
I find this really, really fascinating.
There you go.
Probst.
Who would you say, Maz, is the hottest man in the world?
Well, I'm going to say my boyfriend.
Oh, that's such crap. Now, who
but
would
is
you,
it, but wait, Dan, wait a second. Just picture my boyfriend for a second.
He's beautiful, but he's no Jeff Probst.
This is the Dan and Maz Show.
Love this time of year, though, is added words into the dictionary. That's fun, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, no, I know what you mean. The sort of every year, can you believe that they've added Facebook to the dictionary? Oh, those sorts of things.
I feel like there's a few versions of the dictionary rolling around these days. So I know they've added some new words into the Australian version of the dictionary.
There's one for every language as well, at least.
Yeah. So Bogan, Ranger, Goon of Fortune, they are some of the words and phrases that have been added.
Okay.
How intense is that to the Australian National Dictionary?
But I guess it makes sense, Matt, because if you were a foreigner, right? First, I love words, right? I'm a big logophile. And... If you were a foreigner and you came over to Australia and you saw someone say, that's Stephen over there. He's quite the bogan. And you're a foreigner, you'd go, what is this bogan? What do you speak of? What is this? And you now you can look it up and find out.
Well, Dan, inspired by an email that you sent to the team earlier in the week, which I will read for all of Australia.
Oh, no.
Quote.
What have I done?
Quote. I was thinking a fun thing to do might be to read a page of the dictionary every day, making notes of cool words. Seriously, these are the thoughts that go through my head.
That's it. I thought I'd be not, like, I've got end a big quote. Fat dictionary at home and like every day.
I beg your pardon?
I've got a big fat dictionary. Don't you edit that. In fact, it'd be a great rumor. Like, get it out there. But I've got a big fat dictionary at home and it'd be great to get it out every morning. And just, like, go through a page each day and, like, go, oh, that's a good word, and write it down in a document and improve my word power.
Let's put it to the test. I know you haven't had any time to study, but I'm going to give you a word. You tell me whether or not you reckon it's in the dictionary.
Okay,
in your
all
big,
right.
fat dictionary.
Okay, all right. Oh, yeah, all right.
This is good, okay. Cowabunga.
Oh, I don't think that's in the dictionary.
Incorrect! Oh. It is. It's in the Macquarie Dictionary, which, can I say, for the purpose of this flipping segment, I had to subscribe to. I've got a 30-day free trial to the Macquarie Dictionary online. Blah.
You could read it every morning.
What about the word fleek?
Oh, no way. It's too new.
It's in, mate.
What?
Yes, it is. Fleek is already in there. What about tip-top?
Oh, tip-top. Okay. Far out. So fleek is in there. Cowabunga is in there.
Mm-hmm. Tip-top.
I'm going to say you're mixing it up. I'm going to go strategic here. I'm going to say tip-top, not in there.
Correct.
Oh, is it because it's a bread trademark?
Ooh, I don't know. I would say, how are you feeling today? Tip-top. I don't know. That for me would be an expression, but it's not in there yet.
All right.
Wait till next year, guys, because, you know, we'll all be holding our bloody breath until we know what's going in the dictionary next year.
Yeah, you can start a petition,
what
Maz.
About this one? Right. What about twerk? Do you think that's in the dictionary?
Oh, well, fleek was in.
Mm.
I don't think it's in there. I'm saying it's not in there.
Incorrect. What about flabbergasted?
That's absolutely in there.
No, it's not!
What? Oh my god, that has got okay. me flabbergasted.
Okay, we'll do one more. One more final one.
I've done so badly. At this. I need to start
this
reading the dictionary every morning.
This is the first test that Dan DeBoof has failed.
In my life.
Oh no, wait, didn't you fail your L's?
Oh, yeah.
Sorry, yeah. Second test.
And not even like I'm talking about the computer test to get my L's.
Okay, final word. Right. Dan DeBoof, yeah. Is this or is this not in the Macquarie Dictionary, which I have had to subscribe to a free trial for just for the purpose of this radio segment?
Yeah.
Snickerdoodle.
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 I feel like that's some sort of American baked good.
Is it in the dictionary or is it not?
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I did so badly there.
Hey, the free trial is for 30 days.
Yeah.
So we can do this again next weekend.
Yeah, give me your logins, Maz, and I'll study up for the next week. I need something to fill in the week anyway.
Okay, the password's password one. Just joking. Just kidding.
Dan and Maz Weekends.
This week on my web series, which is called Chatterbox, you can see it on Yahoo 7B.
Got to have a side hustle, don't you, Mazzy?
Hells yeah. I got to catch up with Neil Whittaker. Now, you may know Neil from The Block.
Yeah, if you're a blockhead, you'll know him, Shayna Blaze, and the other guy. seriously, they're like the three tenors, you know, like the other guy. Him, Shayna Blaze, and the other guy, they're the ones who walk through the beautiful, beautiful, beautiful block apartments and go, yeah. Oh, I like that, or I don't like
oh,
that.
Oh, don't like that. Yeah. Or like that. Oh, not sure about that.
Don't know about those architraves.
He's also the editor of Vogue Living magazine. So he knows
good
what
mag.
He's talking about
good
when
mag.
It comes to stuff. Yeah, it's a great mag.
Some good flat lays, some good apartment tours.
Yeah. We did have a chat about Vogue Living, and he told me how The Block has pretty much ruined his social life. Have a listen.
Can we talk about The Block for a sec?
Yeah, of course.
Do people not invite you over because they think that you're going to criticise their house?
Absolutely. I don't think I've been... I haven't been to anyone's house for dinner now for about 7 years.
Oh.
People always think I'm going to judge their homes, and it's terrible. It comes with the job. It's a double whammy of being the judge on the block and the editor of Vogue Living.
I know.
You know, people think that I'm going to walk into their house and immediately start judging everything out of 10. Of course I don't.
Neil, can you tell me about your, I wouldn't say strange connection, but connection nonetheless with Absolutely Fabulous?
Oh, Ab Fab, yeah.
Ab Fab.
Look, in a funny way, I kind of lived it. One of my first ever jobs, in fact, it was my first full-time job back in the 1980s in London. I worked for a public relations agency called Lynn Franks.
Okay.
Lynn was like, she was at the top of the tree in terms of fashion PR in London. And that series was based on her.
Wow.
Literally based on her, because Jennifer Saunders and Dawn French and Ruby Wax,
yes,
were all clients of the agency back in
no
the day.
No way.
So obviously over a number of years of coming in the office for meetings, there was a lot of note-taking going on. Because when that series launched, every character was identifiable.
Did you ever watch an episode of Ab Fab and go, oh, that's me?
No.
Oh, damn.
And I was really disappointed because I was actually always looking out for me. But I don't think I made it. I wasn't obviously on the radar. I didn't make enough of an impression. But seriously, I could watch that show and say, that's so-and-so, that's so-and-so, that's so-and-so. It was that accurate.
That is such a great story.
Yeah.
My chat there with Neil Whittaker for Chatterbox. We've popped that on our Facebook page if you want to see the full chat.
What a great insight into behind the scenes on Ab Fab. I wonder, Maz, if maybe one day, like, you might write a movie about like a radio duo and then I'll go and watch it and I'll be like, oh my God, it's me. Wow.
You would watch that movie and be like, I never realized I was so needy.
Yeah. That's probably one of the better adjectives you could have chosen to describe me.
Oh, mate, I really could have gone to town on you then. And I was like, you know what? It's a Sunday. We're all a bit fragile.
I know.
Let's not go there.
I'm happy to be called needy. Yeah. Everyone has needs.
This is the Dan and Maz Show.
It's time for us to get out of here. Almost. There is one point of business that we must attend to before the end of every weekend show on a Sunday.
Correctamundo, Mazzo. We like to report. We like to report on the news.
Hang on a second.
We report on the news.
When did I become Mazzo?
Since I said correctamundo and then just got on a rollo.
All right, Dano.
Thanks, mate. We like to report on the news that happens, but we also have to report on the news that happened and it turns out you didn't really need to care about it.
In terms of news you don't need to care about, it doesn't get any better than celebrity hair transformations. They're simultaneously always reported on and completely irrelevant. And this week's one was debuted on the project desk.
Look at this brunette bombshell, Perry. Wow, how's the locks?
Do you know what? I've had the same colour hair for 35 years and I was bored and I thought, why not? So I'm giving it a whirl.
Yes. It looks great.
Guys, she got paid by a hair colour company to change the colour of her hair. She's changed from a normal person into a normal person with different hair.
There's so many articles about this.
In Harry Potter news you don't need to care about.
Dan, I think all Harry Potter news is news you don't need to care about.
Ah, that's where you're wrong, Maz, because J.K. Rowling has consistently released new books, stories, plays and trivia based on her beloved boy wizard. But this week, a new theory emerged online, one around Snape's first words to Harry. It was poignant, mysterious, and also not actually news. This theory has been going around the internet for 5 years. Come on, internet, tell me something I don't know about Harry Potter. No, seriously though, I know so much about this fictional boy wizard. I would love a fact I don't already know.
America is still working out who's going to be president. Obviously, racist Donald Trump, or perhaps seizure-prone Hillary Clinton. Or at least that's the latest rumour after one of Hillary's minders was spotted holding what looked like an injector pen.
Take a look at this picture. This is Hillary's handler caught carrying a pen that some believe is intended for those with recurrent seizures.
Well, it wasn't. It was confirmed to be a pocket torch. To the bin with you, non-news item. In fact, to prove it, she even did a feat of strength on the Jimmy Kimmel Show.
Can you open this jar of pickles? This has not been tampered with. This is...
Oh, oh, wow. I get it.
There you go. Beat-ups, non-stories and clickbait. And more next week throughout your weekly news. And then summed up on the Dan and Maz Show in the news you didn't need to care about.
Your weekend fix of all the stuff you didn't need to care about.
Well, it all seems so important Monday to Friday, doesn't it?
It sure does.
People
we get to the weekend.
Writing and clicking and commenting and hashtagging.
Trending topics and all the stuff that happened during the week. You get to Saturday, Sunday, you go,
you get a whole new batch of them next week. Yeah. Have a good week.
Have a great week. We'll catch you next weekend. See ya.
Dan and Maz Weekends.